A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Many signs and wonders were done among the people at the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's portico. None of them dared to join them, but the people esteemed them. Yet more than ever, believers in the Lord, great numbers of men and women were added to them. Thus, they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one or another of them. A large number of people from the towns in the vicinity of Jerusalem also gathered, bringing the sick and those disturbed by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Endurance we have in Jesus, found myself on the island called Patmos, because I proclaimed God's word and gave testimony to Jesus. I was caught up in spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a voice as loud as a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see." Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. And when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, wearing an ankle-length robe with a gold sash around his chest. When I caught sight of him, I fell down at his feet as though dead. He touched me with his right hand and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and the netherworld. Write down, therefore, what you have seen and what is happening and what will happen afterwards." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But they said to them, "Unless we see the marks of the nails of his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, and although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have seen, have not seen, and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that you might, through this belief, you might have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Boy, the sirens have been busy this morning, so we pray for all of our policemen and firemen. And I was out with my dog this morning about 7:15, and all the sirens. I says, it can't be good. And I said, fire was over there, and the smoke was blowing over by St. Peter's is the way that the wind is blowing. So just keep them all in prayer. There's a lot of history that has unfolded in the life of the church this past week. And not only in our church universal, but even in our own parish. And I'll get to that in a minute. But as we know, Pope Francis passed away this week and was buried yesterday. We lost also on Easter Sunday. She was driving to church, she was driving the Mass, ready to give communion, Bonnie Neischwitz. And she pulled over and she just had a massive coronary and passed away, died instantly, suddenly. And you know, Bonnie was one of those very loyal people, you know, who gave communion and was a, you know, very loyal parishioner. She stayed in St. Peter's, you know, all her whole life. And her funeral Mass is tomorrow at 10 o'clock over at St. Peter's. And if you knew Bonnie, she was a gray-haired, not real tall, but glasses, and she always very faithfully was giving communion. So, you know, we always need, you know, new people to step up as our older parishioners if they get sick or if they pass away. You know, we need some of the new, and we have some young families here. Don't be afraid to come and see me and ask if you would like to be involved in any of our ministries. But so what do you do when a pope dies? What do we do? Very simply, I'm going to explain very beautifully the church's theology. What a way to go home to the Lord on Easter week, on Bright Week. Easter week with the Lord and his mercy are most, most profound. When you say Pope Francis, you say a prayer for him. Like I say a very simple, some of those old gravestones in Western Pennsylvania. Proshe Strovash Maria. Please say a Hail Mary for my soul. And that's what we can do for the Holy Father. We also can pray too for the cardinals who will be gathering to elect a new pope, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will guide these cardinals and that the new pope, whoever he may be, may continue with God's help to, and by the Holy Spirit, to continue to make the church go forward in its mission. But you know, during Bright Week, Easter week, when somebody dies, there's a beautiful tradition in the Eastern Church. In the Eastern churches, you have an iconostasis, they call it an icon screen, that separates the sanctuary from the main body of the church. And that icon screen, they have what they call the royal doors that are in the center. And then the two side doors are the deacon doors, the Stephen door and the Lawrence door, after the two early deacons of the church that died as martyrs of the church. And all those doors are left open during Bright Week. Why is that? Because the mercy of God is so great and so profound that if we who are believers, that's why we have Divine Mercy Sunday today. So you can call it the second Sunday of Easter. You can call it Thomas Sunday. You can call it Divine Mercy Sunday. All of it is correct. But God is so merciful. Our Lord is so merciful. Those gates are open so the people of faith, our Lord and his love, go right straight to heaven during Bright Week. That's a lovely, lovely tradition. But also today is Thomas Sunday. And poor Thomas, you know, one understandable mistake. One mistake, and he and others who express similar doubts and questions, and who hasn't, are stuck with the name Doubting Thomas for generations to come. Now, yet his doubt is quite reasonable. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Would you have believed that someone could come back to life after such a horrific death? My crazy cousin, who's a retired organist from Cleveland, the cathedral in Cleveland, and he sent me this kind of like it was a cartoon, a parody. And it's a neat cartoon. It has a beautiful picture of St. Thomas by Al Greco. And it has a saying, and the saying is this, Dear Thomas, do many Christians realize that you were and are a wonderful apostle? And underneath the painting, the cartoon says, I doubt it. Kind of like that dry humor that I really like, you know? That dry humor. But you know, however, not everything is lost on Thomas, because Thomas was and is a good apostle, and he died a martyr's death, and yet not all is lost, because when he finally meets the risen Jesus, his wonder and amazement lead him to exclaim, My Lord and my God. And this exclamation has endured as an act of faith for all these generations. It's been used by many Catholics as a silent prayer of adoration as the bread and wine are elevated after the words of institution. This is my body given for you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. My Lord and my God. It is an act of faith. It is an act of faith to look at what still looks like bread and wine and to say that this is the reality of our Lord and our God. And sometimes it's harder to believe than others. Yet on other occasions, we may feel the presence of Christ very powerfully. When I read the life of Father Walter Chisak, and when he was in a prison cell in the Soviet gulags, when he could take a little raisin, and make that raisin into wine, and a little crust of bread into the body of Christ. He believed. In a prison cell, locked in a prison cell, he believed. It is something that cannot be explained. And my brothers and sisters, if it could be explained, it wouldn't be worth believing in. Somehow, in those moments when we are entering a way of understanding reality that is not bound by time and space. Have you ever had a moment like that? Have you ever had, we should have that moment every time we receive our Lord indwelling in us. But have you had a moment like that? If you do, savor it and treasure it. We are no longer limited to what we can see with our physical eyes and what we can hear with our physical ears. We are given a glimpse of a reality that presents, that transcends, that goes beyond the here and now. It can feel safer to hold back and to allow ourselves to be limited and believing only what we can see and touch, like Thomas tried to. But we don't want to be held back. You know, we want to have that faith like Father Walter Chisak and our parishioner Bonnie and the Holy Father and all those whom the Lord chooses to call. Sometimes, though, God takes us by surprises. And that was one of my favorite quotes from Pope Francis. is that God is a God of surprises, and God really is sometimes a God of surprise. When we find ourselves caught up in wonder and in astonishment and sense the touch of God in it, when heaven touches the earth, or in the Byzantine liturgy when they sing the cherubic hymn, let us set aside all earthly cares. That's what we have to do and remind ourselves every time we come into this church or any church. We set aside all earthly cares and sense the touch of God in it. And at such times, like Thomas, we won't resort to explanation or question as how it happened. We can't. We just have to accept it and allow ourselves to be transported by the experience. So, what does this mean for you and for me? Have you ever felt that Jesus was very close to you? I hope so, especially in the indwelling of receiving Holy Communion. And when and how did you feel his presence? How did you feel and experience the presence of God in your life? And try using every once in a while those words, my Lord